Hello, my name is Ashish Sharma, and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts in which we speak to the main people within the Olympic movement. In this episode, we reflect back upon the WADA symposium, which took place in Lausanne recently. Jeremy Inson went to Lausanne on behalf of Sport Intern and spoke to some of the leading figures at the symposium. He presents this special edition featuring an interview with the WADA president, Witold Banka.
Hello and welcome to this Sport Intern podcast special with me, Jeremy Inson, as we look back at the World Anti-Doping Agency Symposium. We'll be talking to various figures in the fight against doping and discovering how that fight will be shaped as we head towards the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Right, I'm here with President of WADA, Witold Banka. Witold, we're entering a post-COVID-19 world now. How has sort of the anti-doping landscape changed, and what are the big challenges coming up ahead?
Well, I think that from our perspective, I have to say that we dealt properly with COVID, and from the very beginning we delivered to the anti-doping organizations the guidelines how to deal with the pandemic. It was not easy. It was difficult situation for everyone. It was not only for WADA. For different organizations and for all of us. That's why it was not easy, but I think, generally speaking, looking at the figures, I mean, testing figures now, we have to be proud with the fact how ADOS reacted on the situation, how they collaborate with us, and now even, for instance, out of competition, testing figures are bigger than before the pandemic time. So it's a great achievement. It was thanks to the good collaboration between WADA and anti-doping organizations. So now what is different after or still during the pandemic time, we continue our work with ADOS, preparing for them the special guidelines, and we are in touch with them. So I think it's from this perspective, from anti-doping perspective, COVID, we are dealing properly with the situation.
Now, just to make life a little bit trickier for yourself, you've had a reform package for the whole organisation. How pleased with that progress have you been, and how's it changed WADA and the way that perhaps WADA works?
As a president, well, maybe I'm not objective being a president of this organisation, but I'm really proud of the place where we are now. We are, as agency, as an organisation, we are better equipped than it was in the past. Thanks to the governance reforms, thanks to the changes, thanks to the programs which we launched, and the good partnership with the stakeholders. So generally speaking, climate around WADA is much better. So we improved the communication with the stakeholders. We are still developing our agency, working closely with stakeholders. And I think the governance reforms is a really clear sign of good work which we've done. I mean, it was not good. It was not easy to reach the compromise between different stakeholders. And I have to say that at the beginning of this process, the second phase of governance reforms, I bet that we will not achieve such good result at the end of this process. And it was surprising that finally, with all stakeholders, we achieved what we achieved, and the result is good. We have more independent voices in our statutory bodies. We have more athletes involved in the decision making process. We have we opened our statutory bodies for different stakeholders group like anti-doping organizations. So not only sports movement, not only governments, but independent members, anti-doping organizations, athletes. So this is a really broad group of stakeholders, various stakeholders, important stakeholders for now. So I think it is a real change, and And this is one issue. And second issue, and I think that's, of course, we still have anti-doping gaps in the world, but I think that this is the common responsibility, not only WADA's responsibility, but the responsibility which is on shoulders of the sports movement, governments and other stakeholders group either. So we together have to think how we can strengthen the anti-doping system throughout the collaboration.
And of course, you had quite a unique situation the last 8 months. You had two Olympic Games back-to-back in Tokyo and then Beijing. So what have your findings been like, and how was your work different for those two than perhaps they'd been in previous games?
Okay, the main difference was that we had the COVID, so with all these special measures, you know, it was the big difference between those games and the previous games. But like always, we had an independent observer team which monitored the testing activities. And I think that the report of the independent observer proved the testing was okay during the Tokyo, that everything was in accordance with the standards. So we are happy with the situation. The same is in Beijing. We were waiting for the final report from our IO team group. But I think that everything, mainly speaking, everything will be okay.
You've talked a lot about the budget as well. A couple of days ago, the ASWEF presentation, I think it was $46 million was the annual budget this year. It's up 8% next year and then 6% the 2 years thereafter up to 2025. How big a impact will that have on your work? And as a vote of confidence as well from governments and federations who fund WADA.
Imagine how difficult it was for us to convince all, you know, especially governments to increase the budget for WADA. It's always difficult, but I think that they realize that we have to be stronger, you know, and they expect more and more from WADA, and it's fair. It's their right to expect from us to do more and more, but to fulfill the expectations, we have to have a bigger budget and to meet requirements, the expectations. So we put on the table all the arguments about that, you know, this is your responsibility. You expect more investigations, more research projects, more education projects. You have to finance to increase the budget. And it was very well prepared by our team, the arguments why we ask for more. And then they unanimously, you know, approved the our proposal, and I'm happy because now it makes difference, you know. 46 million is much more than we have, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and plus we opened the third way. I mean, we are looking for partners from the private sector. We've signed the first contract with the SuperSport, the broadcaster from Africa, and I think it's a first step, and this is the we are looking for, you know, companies from the private sector, and we believe that as a part of CSR of the companies, it would be good for them to work with us, to associate their brand with our brand, with the values, and to finance the our projects. And I'm not talking about the, you know, finance administration or what are business as usual activities, but finance and partnerships, education, science, research. This is the goal of the private sector.
Can you ask how that will work, bringing private sector, bringing someone in like a broadcaster in the shape of SuperSport? How will that sort of work, and what's their interest in being part of WADA?
Well, you know, for them it's the biggest value from the collaboration with us is to associate their brand with the clean sport, play true, with the values, the all positive values. And then they know that the sport is you know, is the best teacher for youth. The sport brings positive values, but only clean sport without doping. So they realize that they want to be associated with us. They want to have a common project and promote anti-doping, especially in Africa, in this region, when, you know, when still we have where still we have a lot of problems with doping, with lack of you know, resources and lack of education, lack of knowledge. That's why we want to use their tools, and they are very well present in Africa. This company, we want to use their channels, their tools to promote anti-doping, especially finance some, you know, education programs to deliver some positive messages to the African athletes.
And final one, you've mentioned the athletes, obviously they're at the heart of everything you do. You talked about involving them more in the WADA process? How important is it to get them on board, and sort of what roles will they play working alongside the board?
Yes, well, now we will have this athlete council. This is a big change, the big body composed of 20 athletes, from elected athletes throughout the democratic process, nominated and elected athletes. And it was a long process, you know, to reach the compromise to establish this body. But finally, athletes themselves decide about the rules, about this athlete council. And the chair of this athlete council will be our executive committee member with full rights, voting rights, and everything the same rights like the rest of the members of EXCO. And the same two members of athlete council will sit in our foundation board. So we gave them the same rights, you know, like to the other to other stakeholders, and I think it's a big change, you know, it's a big change, and we clearly marked the role of the athletes in decision making process. And it was a part of my manifesto when I was a candidate for this position, that we have to increase the athletes' presence in our statutory bodies, and we've done it, and I think we've done it successfully. And believe me, it was not easy, because, you know, there is no one single athlete voice. We have different groups from different, you know, countries, regions, with different approach to what we are doing, with different goals. But finally, they are happy. The strong majority of the athletes are very happy with the outcomes, with the changes. So we are happy either.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for chatting.
Thank you very much.
My name is Andrea Petrozzi. I'm an academic researcher and what they call career anti-doping researcher. But I also advise and work with the education department and social science. I'm a social scientist.
Now, of course, you were speaking there in your speech, your presentation, about celebrating the clean athletes. Why do we need to do that, especially as it's part of their job to be clean athletes, surely?
Actually, I think we need to celebrate. If you think about it a little bit, do we celebrate someone who's climbing the Mount Everest in harder conditions, going without the oxygen mask, going on a harder route? We do celebrate them. Why clean athletes would be any different? But the point what I made during the talk is not really that they want a medal, but they want to have a recognition, because their problem is they are compliant with the system, they do the right thing, they are committed to the clean sport behavior, not because of the anti-doping rules, but because this is how they want to achieve. It's internal, it's driven by their values and their morals. So this is not just what they want to achieve, but how they want to achieve it. But it's not visible at all. So anti-doping system is geared toward showing the bad. So we have clean athletes who are committed to that, both the behavior and also the being anti-doping rule compliant for a decade, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing to show for. And yes, it is difficult, because you cannot evidence clean status. You cannot prove that you are clean. You can only prove the opposite. But I think there is ways to prove that they are actually anti-doping compliant. How many times they have been tested? What was the last test? So actually they show that they have been checked and not found positive or not found guilty. If you look at the anti-doping rules, it is black and white. You either break the rules or you don't. So in that sense, there is no gray area. The gray area comes from what it means actually clean performance enhancement, because athletes, as we know from the research that we conducted, are engaged in a variety of performance enhancing practices. And some of these athletes are stay as far as possible from the hard line of WADA, where the regulated clean zone is, to keep a safe bet to that. But others say, well, I am a funded athlete. My job is to do whatever it takes within the allowed or legal limit to maximize my performance. And if I'm going all the way up to that line and toe that line, I'm still a clean athlete because I don't break any rules. No, that's create a gray zone. So the gray zone is not really between the black and white, but the gray zone is within the white.
How much wider is the problem around an individual athlete when they are caught for doping?
I am putting that back to the athletes that we talked to, and they felt that doping is very seldom a solo act. It does not necessarily mean that you have to have someone physically helping you to do that, but being in a system in which doping does not have very, very serious consequences. One example to use, some athletes, particularly from the Western Europe, which is a very different culture, they talk about if they fail the doping test, and they labeled as dopers, it affects the rest of their life. They are not going to get a job because they always labeled as cheaters. So they feel that the system around them is not tolerating doping at all. So the consequences of actually failing the doping test accidentally or deliberately is much, much higher than in countries where there is an easy return back to sport, there is still a support, and once you finish the athletic career, no one really cares what you did in sport. So I think when we talk about it's not a solo act, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone is giving you the drugs or helping you doing it or just turn the blind eye, but also what is built into the society and the culture around you.
And would you like to see that change?
Which part?
The sort of the Western European approach where once you're a cheater, you're a cheater for life almost.
I don't think it's my job to change. What I would like to see is the recognition that what we called the weird countries, which is the Western industrialized, educated, rich, democratic, is a very, very different culture than the rest of the world. And whatever anti-doping measures we bring in place and education we bring in place is mostly developed based on our understanding from the weird countries. The European, American, North American, Australian research, because this is where we have research for. So what I would like to change is actually have more research and more understanding of the rest of the world.
If we do start celebrating them more, what effect do you think that will have on the whole sporting field across the board?
The culture, I believe, it's evolved organically from the grassroots, from the environment. It cannot be mandated. It cannot be done with awareness raising and campaigns and just putting I play clean on your racing bibs. It has to come from the athletes. If the majority of the athletes, this is how they want, they have the power to make that change.
That was Jeremy Inson in Lausanne speaking to the WADA president, Witold Banker, and WADA researcher Andrea Petrozzi. Don't forget, you can get all the latest news from the world of sport by subscribing to the Sport Inter newsletter, produced every day, Monday to Friday. So, until next time, stay safe.